Live from the 1480 studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. Hey, everyone, this is Dave Isaac alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. Got a great show today, guys. How are you?
I'm great.
Outstanding.
Wow, I was getting worried. Greg was away from the mic, and I didn't think he would be able to recover, but he is an athlete, and he recovered nicely.
I've worked on my quickness on getting back to the mic as fast as possible.
And That's the microphone.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I think if we could make it through our Thursday show where we had four guests and one at the last minute, some technical difficulties, and Greg worked that out. So,
yeah, that was really good. Yeah, you're our producer
on the
Thursday show.
Yeah,
but Eric is our producer every Saturday. Eric, we got to give you a shout out.
Thank you.
You are really good. I'm not kidding.
Thank you.
And you have other talk radio action yourself, right?
Yes. Well, you know, I'm on the Mike Newcomb show whenever he decides to do a show.
That is really cool, though.
And then we fill in for Tom Hartman when Tom's out.
That is really cool. So everyone needs to stay tuned, preset their dial, 1480 AM, and make sure you do it. Okay, Joseph.
Yes?
What do we got for today?
Well, first off, we're going to talk about the Jodi Arias movie. This is a big news, right? Jodi Arias, Dirty Little Secret. It's on Lifetime tonight, so we're going to preview that, review it, talk a little more about Jodi Arias, the themes that I saw in the film. And here in our second segment, we will talk about Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc. And then finally, ending this, the Breakthrough Entertainment part of the show, we will have a review and discussion of World War Z with our special guest, Subway Sam.
Subway Sam?
Yes, we have Subway Sam here in studio. He will be here for our last segment.
We're going to meet him later on.
I love Subway.
This guy
Subway.
Is amazing.
No,
Subway
I
Sam
love the
is fantastic.
Turkey. Well, the turkey with a lot of pepper.
He's really,
not Subway.
He's
Subway.
Not from the actual restaurant.
Oh, that's Jared.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Jared. I knew there was something.
He's kind of like you because he likes counting. He likes helping people, you know.
Count?
Counting. Yeah. He
counting money?
Yeah. Well, anything. You know. Time, train stations, you know, subways.
I don't count train stations. So wait, I don't even know what that means.
What do you count?
I count, well, for my clients, I count success.
Okay, good. Very good.
All right. I don't know what it means, but I had to come up with something. All right. So Subway Sam is a real person coming in, huh?
Well, we'll talk about him.
You'll see.
It's a surprise, yeah. But
I think you'll like him a lot, though. Good
but
guy.
Right, exactly. And I want to invite everyone to head over to breakradioshow.com, and you can go to our Facebook page as well, up at the big F in the upper right-hand corner. And then you can also find on there a link to a Phoenix Movie Examiner, where I write as well. And I just put up, literally seconds ago, passes where you can print passes to an advanced screening of The Heat. It's coming up this Tuesday at AMC Desert Ridge, and you can see it before anyone else. That's a new action comedy starring Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock.
Oh, that looks funny.
Yeah, so you could see it for free. So, you know, but passes are limited, and you know, I'm watching them, you know, being depleted as we speak. So
wow. So get over to our Facebook page.
Yes.
Nice. And you can go breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, right to the Facebook.
Yes.
I like how Greg says that better.
Okay. Absolutely. Although these tickets are on examiner.com,
right.
As Joseph said.
Okay, right. Good.
Yeah. But all still right. Go to our Facebook.
That's what I'm thinking. All right. So what are we going to start off with?
Well, we're going to start with Jodi Arias, Dirty Little Secret. But I want to give our phone number in case anyone has anything to say about this film, any of our films today, but especially right now, if you have anything to say about Jodi Arias or the movie, which is on tonight, what number can they call, Dave?
602-252-1480.
Excellent.
602-252-1480. Very controversial thing. Of course, they had the trial here.
Yes.
And this happened here in Mesa.
And it's, yes, exactly. And it's still going on, right? She has not been sentenced yet, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But, okay, so this movie is called Jodi Arias, Dirty Little Secret. It airs tonight, 5 p.m., I believe, on Lifetime Channel. And Tanya Ramond, who we've had on the show before, she's from Lost, but anyway, she plays the aspiring photographer who was recently found guilty of killing her former lover after he was found nude in his home shower with a slit throat, 27 additional stab wounds, and a bullet to the head. So, quite a serious subject, right? And you know, this is relatively new, and she was just convicted about a month ago.
Yeah.
And so what do you think? Is this sound like an interesting film? Are you interested in this, Dave?
Well, it sounds interesting because it's actually sadly real. Mm-hmm. And I say sadly because obviously the parents of Travis Alexander, who was murdered, and, you know, and his family, his friends, that's just a tragedy, no right. doubt about it. And it also is ongoing story. So that makes it sort of interesting how this thing will turn out. Not from any point of view except what to learn so people will never do this. I mean, this right. is just not, well, obviously, it's way inappropriate. I mean, it's beyond yes. inappropriate. It shows there are people that if they have abandonment issues or obviously she got rejected somehow. And I know she tried to do the self-defense deal, but 27 stab wounds is 27 too many.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, here's the thing: what you need to know about this movie is that I was a little bit disappointed that it didn't tell us more about the trial itself. Obviously, you can watch the trial. We've seen the trial, the real trial. But most of this movie, all but maybe like 10 to 15 minutes of the movie, is leading up to the trial, leading up to the events. So, you know, it's her relationship with Travis. And, you know, do we know if any of this is really real? I don't think we're ever going to really know if this is how things went down. In this film, obviously, Jodi Arias is not portrayed as a victim. She is portrayed as a woman who is very, very, very much in love with this Travis Alexander. And she basically goes crazy because he doesn't want anything to do with her after some point because he sees that she's a little bit off of her rocker. And so that's how she is portrayed in this film. And Travis Alexander in this film does not do anything even remotely wrong to her other than saying, you know, that he really doesn't want to be around her.
And thus the potential abandonment issues and
rejection.
Yeah.
And, you know, so but say what you will about Jodi Arias, but her antics, which, I mean, I don't know if you saw this clip of her standing on her doing handstands while she was waiting to be interviewed by authorities. I mean, she was in this holding room, and she was getting up on her head and getting up on her handstands, all sorts of weird things. She's, like, she's really entertaining, I'm going to say that. And that's why people love to watch this trial as it was happening, and that's why that, you know, this movie was made, because she's really entertaining. So say what you will about her, but she really does have entertainment value, and that's how this movie works. It is a very entertaining movie. It's titillating, even. You know, but just because it's so shocking. It's so shocking. And, you know, yeah, of course, this is a Lifetime movie, so the production values aren't spectacular. And this isn't playing in theaters, but, you know, we figured because the link to the Valley and because the high-profile nature of this, we wanted to bring it up on the show. I'm giving it a thumbs up.
Are you?
I'm giving the film a thumbs up. I'm not obviously approving what she did, you know, but I really like the theme here that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Wow. Yeah, that I think we've all seen that at one time or another. I there's no doubt in my mind it's all about if we're talking about a woman right now, and we yeah. are, we could talk about men another show. But you know, with abandonment issues, rejection combined with low self-esteem, people can snap. I don't think many people, because I think someone's morals and value of human life will always become the main value to drive someone's behavior. But if you have low values, mm-hmm. low self-esteem, combined with rejection, and evidently she claimed she was, you know, sadly abused right. early on in her life, that could all be an explosive situation of anger, and it came out on Travis.
Right, and we don't know. Obviously, we see what she said on the stand about her early life, but we don't see that in this film.
I mean, oh,
this
you
basically
don't.
Picks up where she met Travis Alexander, and where she
in Las Vegas, I believe.
Yeah, he basically tells, you know, this group of people that if you want something, you put a bullseye on that, and you do not stop until you get that. Well, she heard that, and I don't know if that part of it was real, but she heard that, and she says, "Okay, my bullseye is on you, and I will not stop until I have you." And
or no one else will.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So very scary. She is very scary in this film. She's portrayed, frightening. And at the end, I know that, Dave, you don't like to have nightmares.
No.
You might want to stay away from Jodi Arias and Jodi Arias' Dirty Little Secret, because the end of this film, you might be left with some nightmares.
Oh, geez.
She's clearly, like I said earlier, off her rocker.
Well, the good news isn't she locked up right now? Yes.
She is, yes. And, yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's interesting that, 18 days she was on the witness stand testifying for herself. And the jury actually said that really hurt her.
Right.
And why the defense wanted to have her on 18 days is odd, right?
Well, because they had to try to make a point that she was a victim. They had to, try something.
Yeah, because really, if you saw it from the beginning, it's obvious that she did this and that she was very, very guilty, no matter what.
That makes sense.
That's why. And so her attorneys, as you said, that's the only way they try to use the victim card by saying, oh, she was abused, this and that happened. You know, he was sexting her all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
did
all
they have
that
proof
stuff.
Of that?
Yeah, well there might have been some, but that's not bad. What's wrong with that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of a lot of sex going back and forth. There's a lot of photographs because she's an aspiring photographer,
sure,
and she's an artist. You know, she sold a lot of her artwork in prison as well, and made a lot of money doing that. There's a lot of evidence against her. I mean, she definitely she killed the guy. There's a photograph of her killing him.
Right.
I mean, at one point in this movie,
she took a self photograph.
She didn't mean to.
It was accidental.
Right. And they have, she tried to get rid of the camera. She put it in the washing machine, and you can't get rid of pictures. At one point in the movie, she even says, her character says, she loves cameras because if you take a picture, you can save it forever, and if you don't like that picture, you can get rid of it. Well, guess what?
She forgot to get rid of it.
Well, she tried to get rid of it, but you can't get rid of pictures.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, this reminds me of the defense that you were talking about, Craig. It was so obvious that someone did it, but you want to show them as a victim. But who was a heavyweight champ that, I can't remember. He bit the guy's ear off.
Mike Tyson. Yeah.
Mike Tyson. Well, when he got, accused of rape, mm-hmm. The defense was like, well, the girl should have known this guy's a nutty guy.
Right? Yeah.
What type of defense is that? But that was the only defense they could figure on.
You throw things at the wall, see
what
sticks.
And that
didn't quite stick.
No. Well, no, of course not. But and as Joseph said, that's what they did here is they were thinking, okay, if we can make it look like she was a victim, he was a bad. So what they try to do is paint him out to be a bad guy. And this is while his sisters, his siblings, his family's all there in the courtroom seeing this, which it wasn't true about him. And it's not. And the good thing in the movie, it appears that they did it right. But that's what they were trying to do. So it's like, so she did it in almost like a self-defense type of situation that, she was feared for her life. But obviously there's just too many inaccuracies and then all the evidence, as you said, that, they had on it. So that's why it worked out the way it did, of course. But that's why they wanted her on the stand, because it's the only thing they can think of is, could we try to do it? And they tried. I was shocked that it looked like some of the jury was kind of thinking it might be a case. But luckily, eventually they said, that hurt her more. They could really tell that it was all staged, all a lie.
And having seen some of the trial, and I said something about this off air, and I'm not going to repeat it, but I know some people who really got into this trial extremely, in extreme ways. They,
riveted stories
people.
About some,
It riveted people, and I think that anyone who has followed this trial followed this case will, absolutely be compelled by this story as they portray this. So, it's kind of like Fatal Attraction. I know, Dave, you like Fatal Attraction, right?
Yeah, scary, but it's like. Big lesson there, huh?
And who's scarier than
Jody
Arias?
Just don't buy bunnies is my lesson.
Right. And don't date aspiring photographers.
Yeah.
So Jody Arias.
I like my joke better. Don't, don't buy bunnies.
Right. And I don't. Anyway. Tanya Ramon does an excellent job as Jody Arias here. Very compelling performance from her, especially later when they show her, briefly on the stand. They kind of rush through, the court case itself, like I said, in like about 10 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. And but she, you can tell this as Tanya Ramon portrays her, she's not a very reliable witness. And she goes from being a really great actress to a great actress. In a very bad way.
Oh, wow. I was thinking of that. One more comment about this is, if someone plays, an actor or an actress plays some evil type of person or a villain, I wonder how much of the population really relate to them in that capacity, and they end up not liking them.
The actor or actress?
Yeah, even though it's acting. I bet that happens.
Yeah, there's certainly...
Yeah. Oh no. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say there's certainly a case that this movie shouldn't even have been made.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But I don't think with the actress or actors you could get upset. You know, people might maybe the people that made it. And Joseph, here's a question: do you think maybe too soon for this type of movie, or
you know,
want to pass the question to Dave?
Well, I will say that on a moral level, yes, definitely too soon.
Right.
For the relatives of Travis, probably.
Yes.
Absolutely. At a minimum.
On an entertainment level, you know, that part of me is saying, you know, strike while the iron is hot. And this is still fresh in everyone's mind. It's right before the trial picks right back up in July. So.
And as we see on Lifetime, most of the movies are true stories and a lot of similar stories with murder.
Made in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. It made in about 10 minutes. So it's interesting. But the thing is because the big media around this, so there's two ways to look at it. There's one way, yes, it was too soon, and yes, I don't believe they should have put it out this soon. But on the other hand, you do look, and some of the other films, while they might be about cases from years ago, some aren't. It's just they weren't as high profile, but they still made those, and there really isn't the fuss on that. So I think either way, there's maybe no right or wrong with it. Is that the opinion? It just depends on the person, you know, if it should be made right away or not. Do you think they should have waited a little while longer?
I think they should have. I mean, this is so fresh. It's incredible. I think she was just, convicted just, May 8th of 2013.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just so short time ago. But yeah, I mean, in regards to, you know, Travis's family and also maybe thinking about, should we wait to get the complete story, too?
Right. Well, I think they leave it very nicely. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but obviously she's in prison right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm pretty sure she's never going to get out of there, you know, alive at least. You know, so the way that they leave it, you know, she's nutty. And that's all I'll say is that, you know, there's a couple of very nice sequences where Tanya Ramone does excellent, you know, like I said earlier, giving you nightmares, but these two very, very efficient sequences. It really shows Jodi Arias as she is in her head, you know, talking out loud and, you know, doing these crazy things that she's done all along. So, but again, thumbs up. It's playing tonight, airing tonight on about 5 o'clock, I think, on Lifetime.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that they'll probably replay it. But
I
would catch it tonight because people will be talking about this as they've been talking about the trial all along.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Nancy Grace will probably have some comments on this, too.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I think she has a little soundbite in the film as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. But
it pays to be Nancy Grace.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, so that wraps it up for this particular movie. All right. Why don't we take a quick break right now, and we come back. We will review another movie. Which one, Joseph?
Monsters University.
Wow. Billy
Crystal.
Lightening
up the mood a little bit.
I love Billy Crystal. Really, he's one of the talents of all time in Hollywood, and this is Breakthrough Entertainment here at 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
If I was a rich man. Oh, wait, that reminds me of Fiddler on the Roof. If I was a rich man. How's that go, anyway? I forgot. Anyway, welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment. Yes, I was debuting my voice. Didn't quite work. I got the wrong song, and this is 1480 AM Studios, KPHX. This is Breakthrough Entertainment. I'm Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and Greg Isaac. Wow.
Yes. He's really getting into the song.
Now, what song was that?
From Monsters, Inc.
Oh, nice. Yes.
John Goodman, Billy Crystal. Mm-hmm.
They are good. John Goodman was such a great... He still is. But he was really active for a while there. I mean, making a lot of movies and still does make...
No, the series made a ton.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's more active now than
he's... Which is really good because he's such a great actor.
And, oh, yeah.
And Billy Crystal, phew. Really, one of my favorite movies. Which one is it? Let's see who can guess. One of my favorite Billy Crystal movies. Eric, what do you think it is?
Was it the one with Gregory Hines?
I don't remember. No. But
or Cops?
No, it was with Deborah Winger. Forget Paris. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, did you guys see it?
No.
Well, I have, yeah.
I thought it was hysterical. What a great movie. Anyway, that's my commentary here. Back to Joseph. Monsters University.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm surprised that you haven't seen Monsters, Inc.
No.
I mean, any Pixar movie, you have to see Pixar movies.
I've seen Pixar movies. I've seen... What are some of the Pixar movies?
I've got the shirt on right now. What did you say?
Toy Story.
Yeah. I've seen Toy Story. Nice.
Yeah, Toy Story what 3 is one of my favorites. A Bug's Life. I've got the shirt
Bug's
on
Life.
Today. Cars.
Cars was very good. I liked it.
They got Planes coming out in a couple months.
That one's not Pixar, but it's...
It's not.
You know, no, oh. It's strictly Disney.
Ooh, oh, really?
The
oh,
next
okay.
one, War in Syria.
My apologies there.
What?
War in Syria.
What?
Oh, no, that's not
I don't
Pixar.
Know. No.
That's Washington. No. Okay.
WALL-E and Ratatouille.
I didn't like WALL-E.
You didn't like WALL-E?
No.
You're
no.
heartless.
I like
my girlfriend hated that too.
You didn't like it either?
No, my girlfriend didn't like it.
When yeah.
And the thing went, WALL-E!
Yeah, I know. I did like WALL-E World where Chevy Chase was driving there. That was good. Christmas Vacation or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, Dave's Random Enlightenment.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, back to Joseph.
Yeah, all right. So this is Monsters University. This is a prequel to Monsters, Inc. And I think Monsters, Inc. was more than 10 years ago or, you know, it was quite a while ago. Mm. So Billy Crystal and John Goodman once again voice Mike Wazowski and James P. Sullivan, two mismatched monsters who are now inseparable, but that was not always the case, as shown in this story about their experience in college, where they overcame their differences and became the best of friends. Do you still have any best friends from college that you knew?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, not college. Yeah, right around the college time, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah,
yeah.
He married my cousin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Barry. You know Barry.
Yeah,
Barry's
I know Barry.
Great, though.
Yeah, Barry's
we're
great.
We're friends with, you know, he had a son named Hayden about the yeah. same age as... my daughter, Greg's
Well, technically,
sister.
My third. I don't know yeah. how it works.
One's yeah. One cousin, once removed, or
right.
something like
something
that.
Something along those lines.
But yeah, Barry's a great guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've got friends that I still
Which
know.
Which is sort of cool,
yeah.
right?
Absolutely.
He hasn't changed. Just a genuine, nice guy.
But with you, because of your age, it's always interesting to look back like that because, you know, you're, what, 85 next year?
Oh, yeah, right.
But to go back, though, all those years, you know, that must be something.
Wow, it wasn't that far back.
No, but I mean, like, with, you know, Joseph or myself in our 20s, it's just a few years ago
right.
type of
You're
situation.
In your
20s? Yes, yes. Oh. No, actually, I turned 42 next week. I just look great. But,
yeah, maybe it's
more
significant.
But for you, yeah, it's a whole different situation because you're, you know, a lot older.
A little bit
removed,
older.
Yeah.
Yes. Not a lot, a little bit.
Yeah, a lot.
Eric,
a lot.
Come on, do you think I'm a
Eric's
lot older
not,
than
but
them?
You are.
No,
yeah.
no, me.
What was the question?
He says I'm a lot older than these kids. Oh, maybe I am.
Which kids?
Both of the kids. You know, Joseph.
Well, so you're calling us kids. That shows you're a lot older.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Right.
We got it. We yeah. tricked him.
Okay.
Right, let's
yeah.
do this.
All right.
All right. Well, you know, I really liked Monsters, Inc. It wasn't one of my favorite Pixar movies. Certainly not nearly as terrible as Cars or Cars 2.
Oh,
I hated
you didn't
those.
Like Cars. Huh?
Not very much. No, I didn't like Cars. I hated Cars 2, and I absolutely loathed Brave from last year.
You didn't say that one.
You're offending little Mason with that. Cars 2 is two favorites.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Well, you know, so but still, the thing is, I didn't not like them. I'm just thinking on the terms of Pixar movies,
right?
You know, they weren't as great. And since our last two Pixar movies were, you know, Cars 2 and then Brave, I mean, I was thinking, oh wow, they kind of lost it. And you know, but this one, Monsters University, it's a rare prequel that is better than the original.
Oh,
really?
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes, I you know, I love it. You know, everyone grows up thinking that if you work at something hard enough, you can accomplish anything. The harsh reality of the situation, though, is that some talents simply cannot be taught. Leave it to Pixar to not only produce a prequel that is better than its predecessor, but also break that aforementioned agonizing news to children and us, of course, as well, with Monsters University. It's a valuable life lesson that we learn in this film, but it's you know, it's got a lot of humor, a little bit of heart, and you know, it's not the least bit scary, even though it's called Monsters University. You know, it's a lot of fun. I really like this movie. And you know, there's multiple paths to every dream, and our shortcomings lead us to find our strength that help us change the world. You know, again, leave it to Pixar to have a really loaded motion picture. Mm-hmm. Has a lot of lessons in there, but it's also entertaining and it's heartfelt. You know, so I especially as someone who, you know, graduated college, you know, I think about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
This is, you know, really close to home, and especially, you know, the timing is right. I wasn't quite a kid when Monsters, Inc. came out, but, you know, I was young enough that, you know, this means something to me that I kind of grew up with these characters. You know, mm-hmm. same thing with Toy Story 3. You know, it doesn't have quite the amount of heart as Toy Story 3, but it means the same sort of thing, you know, mm-hmm. nostalgia. And that these characters mean a lot to people who are now, you know, Greg and my age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even especially with Toy Story, because the original one was, what, 95 or
yeah,
something along
so,
those
yeah.
lines. So we were still pretty
right.
young at that time, and we still are. But Monsters, Inc., 2001, so high school time, and, you know, maybe those types of movies weren't our favorites, but, you know, when you get to high school, but you still, you know, watch it, or
yeah, you still
if you have younger siblings and whatnot, hear more about it. So, yeah, these characters... Man, over 10 years. Yeah. And even then if you see how they were when they were younger.
Right. And even if you are older, like Dave's age, and you saw and you saw Monsters, Inc., you know, whatever that, 12 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's still, that's the passage of time. A lot of right. things happen in 12 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, so just the passage of time alone, and then to revisit these characters. And like you said, go back to where, you know, when they were younger and when they were learning to be who they are. I mean, it's really awesome. Pixar makes these, you know, excellent movies that really feel real, and these characters, even though they're monsters, they feel like real characters.
Oh, absolutely.
That you embrace, and you know, so I really like this. I'm giving a thumbs up. You know, one of the best animated movies of the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so definitely go out and see it. And again, I really like the theme here. I said it before, but I'll say it again. Some talents simply cannot be taught, but there are multiple paths to every dream, and our shortcomings lead us to find our strengths that then help us change the world. Dave, I know you have something to say about
that. I do have comments, but my first comment is only add a little over three decades to one of your ages, and you get my age.
Not that, a little over three decades, three decades and a half.
Yeah, but it's only three.
There, decades.
There could be
three is little.
Three times
three
ten,
is under
30,
five.
Half, 35.
Yeah, you could be both of us, and then you could still, it still wouldn't add up.
Yeah.
All right. We're making him feel bad.
No, I feel good. Okay, now, the comment. The some talents cannot be taught. I agree. And NLP skills can be taught, though, but talents may not. But you can perfect skills, but there are some physical obstacles despite the skill set. So you could be a great, great basketball player, but if you're 4 foot tall, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard to make the NBA. But you can still have great skill sets.
Yeah,
So you can teach the skills, but you may not have the overall talent to be able to make certain things. But the real key here is, and I don't know if this is about the movie because I haven't seen it yet, but if one recognizes shortcomings in oneself, and this is really important, and you have the awareness to understand, perceive weaknesses, and you do something about it, it creates more balance. It transforms you into a better person. And if you know your passion and purpose in life, and one of the things that you take on is you're here on Earth to become your best, to reach your full potential, that's a good way to live life. Yeah. And maybe that was part of the theme or not. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, you know, because Sully, in this film, he really wants to be the scariest monster imaginable. That's why he goes to college. He wants to be in the scaring program.
Which is a purpose or passion in
right.
his life.
He
yes.
does have a passion. And, you know, and then on the opposite end of the spectrum is James P. Sullivan. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Wazowski, they both want to be the scariest monsters, but Mike Wazowski, the little green guy, mm-hmm. played by Billy Crystal, he doesn't have, you know, he's a little eyeball, basically. He's not very scary. He's better at telling jokes, as we learn in Monsters, Inc.
Absolutely.
So he's never going to be that tremendously scary, so he cannot, you know, do what Sully does.
And what's interesting, breaking away from that a little bit, is that the characters and the voices fit completely. I mean, you see that in anime movies. Obviously, that's the point. But here, maybe more so than ever, you know, with Billy Crystal, John Goodman. And then for, you know, the adults out there that see it, you know, good cast, Steve Buscemi, Helen Mirren, Charlie Day, who, of course, was hilarious in Horrible Bosses, and Aubrey Plaza. Bill Hader, so a lot of comedic actors in there. So not, you know, obviously the kids will love it, but the adults, not just because of Monsters, Inc. that they remember, but in general, though, a lot of great stuff.
Right. This is a rare animated film that you can go see with your kids, and you will, as an adult, will love, and the kids will love as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially because of the story. Like I said again, you know, there's a scene near the end where Mike is, you know, sitting, and he's like very, very sad because, you know, this is hitting. The reality of life is hitting him where, you know, I'm never going to amount to what I want to amount to, you know. But then as we see in Monsters, Inc., you know, he amounted to so much more than, you know, than
so
he ever would have normally.
So do you have to see Monsters, Inc. to appreciate this particular film?
No,
okay.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I would definitely see them both, though. You know, you could see them either way. You can see the prequel and then Monsters, Inc., or you can see them flip-flopped like they're releasing them. But it's just going to elevate the experience. It's going to enrich the experience. Otherwise, you're still going to enjoy both movies as standalone features.
So what you're saying, this movie, Monsters University, somewhat reflects real life experiences.
Yes.
And thoughts and feelings
it
of
does.
People.
It does, because, you know, sometimes, I mean, the reality of the situation is life isn't, an animated movie. It's not all fun and games, right? I mean, so
no.
it takes Pixar to go in there and teach kids at an early age, hey, you know what, sometimes life isn't so happy, but, you know, there's also everything happens for a reason.
You know, which is good, because I think, as you guys put it, in my day, when we were growing up, I was growing up, is that there was a lot of fantasy out there, a lot of, I think, misrepresentation of the fairy tale, the gold at the end of the rainbow, and just not through hard work, but just because that's what people wanted without understanding how they can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a disservice to people, because I think it could probably lead to depression and all sorts of things, rather than teaching people how to rise above your self-imposed limitations,
yeah.
the inner workings of oneself, just not grabbing on to some outer circumstance that will be happily ever after, because you're not, unless you're happy inside, just because.
Very nicely put.
All right, and let's go to a break right now, because that was nicely put. Greg, what's your comment on my nicely put? Okay, no comment on my nicely put. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live here in the 1480 Studios, KPHX, and we'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.riiadvisors.com. That's riiadvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement offering compromise or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. Welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment. We are at the 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac. I've reversed the order. Joseph, great review thus far on two of the movies.
Yes.
Jodi Arias and Monsters University. I'm really liking what you've been saying about Monsters University. I love movies with the theme, teaching kids and adults a new way of thinking about life to improve.
Yeah. It's certainly, you know, both movies are good that we've talked about so far. Thumbs up. So we'll find out if World War Z is any good here in just a moment with our special guest. And also, just so that in case anyone has anything to say about either the other movie that we talked about or World War Z, what number can they call, Dave?
They can call 602-252-1480, 602-252-1480. Call us. Any thoughts, comments, feelings, whatever.
If you see any zombies or anything, let us know. We'll have Brad Pitt take care of it.
Yeah, but don't talk about zombies in terms of ex-spouses. We don't want to hear about that. That's a different show.
Well, we might want to hear about
it. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, there's some good stories with
that. There's probably
bad
good
that are good to talk. Well, you know what I mean.
And you can still call Brad Pitt, because in this movie, Brad Pitt plays a United Nations employee who traverses the world in a race against time to stop a zombie pandemic that is toppling armies and governments and threatening to decimate humanity itself. This is based on a book. Have you ever read it, Dave?
I have not.
No?
No.
Okay.
World War Z is a book.
World War Z, yes, a book. This is quite different from what I understand. Like, I haven't read the book either, but from what I've read online, this is quite a bit different than the book, because the book, they said that this would have been like a 40-hour movie because there's so much content in the book. But this is a zombie movie without any blood.
Oh.
Yeah, because I know that you don't like blood, you don't like gore, so you were kind of possibly interested in this.
Yeah.
Here we go again. So you might be interested in seeing World War Z, because it's a zombie movie without any blood. But I would say it has no right to call itself a horror film then, as a horror fan.
Yeah, that's right.
It also has no right to call itself an action flick, because there's very little action in this movie. There's some action, and obviously you watch the trailer, and there's quite a bit of running around and zombies attacking people, but they don't really show anything specific. The director here, Mark Forster, he has some experience making more meaningful movies than big summer blockbusters. I'm giving this a thumbs down. I was a little bit bored by it. Also, the worst thing about it was that the people in the film looked more lifeless than the zombies themselves. They looked completely, they looked unfazed by, you know, their surroundings.
Bad makeup artists.
Right. Yeah.
That's too weird. Well, why don't we take a call from one of our listeners right now. Jeff from Phoenix, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. How you doing?
We're great. How are you?
Great. I'm good. Hey, you're right. It was none of those things, none of the above that you said, for the horror, action flick, and that stuff. But I saw that as some sort of biblical flick, because Israel had no infection compared to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
The Palestinians behind the walls, their animals in the movie. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it had some sort of biblical reference to it.
So, Joseph, is that... I didn't see the movie, so do you see any biblical...
When you see the movie, the rest of the world is infected, except for Israel and this so-called wall they have built around Israel.
That's a good
point. When they show you on the other side of the wall, the Palestinians are raging animals. They're the ones that climb up over the wall. You see them, like in the preview, where you see the bodies piling up into the sky, and they go to the chopper. Those are the Palestinians.
Yeah, yeah. So
it has some sort of biblical reference to it.
Right, and I would definitely agree with that. That you know, they were actually doing something about it, and I think that that's in the book.
Which is also a false biblical reference. But go ahead.
Have you read the book? I'm curious.
Oh no, I didn't. I've never heard of the book before. But as I'm sitting and looking at the movie, I could see the subliminal message in it.
Right. And did you? So you saw the film? Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
But there was a subliminal message in it. Yes, it was.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you for your comments. Appreciate you calling in. Hopefully you'll call in again. Anyway, I haven't seen it, but you gave it a thumbs down. Maybe should I see it just because of other points of view?
Well, yeah. And Jeff certainly liked it. So
yeah.
We want to thank Jeff for calling in and giving his perspective. And, so I gave it a thumbs down. Jeff sounds like he gave it a thumbs up. But I did like the theme here. I wish they would have explored it a little bit more. I don't want to share exactly what happens in this film, but when it comes to this theme, but our agreements with the United States government expire the moment that it no longer perceives us to be of some value. So, I mean, basically that means that, the United States will make, the government will make deals with us and make promises, but the second that we are no longer around to hold it accountable, or the second that we no longer have value to the government, it will say, yeah, well, you know, too bad. Those promises, they were a limited time offer.
You know, unfortunately, not just governments, but you see that in society itself. I mean, based on the criteria one uses, what's valuable to the recipient becomes useless if that value is somehow leaves, dissipates, or is no longer needed. And I believe that. I think that is sadly part of the society. And if you use criteria in a selfish way or in just pure profit way versus criteria maybe of good service, of loyalty, of honesty, integrity, those type of things will direct your behaviors in different decisions. So I do agree with you in that. And you see it in work. You see it in sports teams. You see it in relationships. The criteria one uses will dictate how that relationship goes.
Yeah.
And people need to watch, what is their criteria? You know, and the criteria is tied into values. What's your values? I mean, do you have values of love, family, adventure, perhaps money, integrity, and honesty? You know, if you have integrity as your number one value, things will turn out different than if you have money as your number one value. You'll make different decisions, have different behaviors, whether it's government, business, relationships, sports teams, whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I, while watching this movie, I couldn't get over the fact that, you know, the government was basically telling Brad Pitt's character, hey, we need you to fight for us. We need you to go out and, you know, be this macho Brad Pitt guy, basically. Mm. And then we'll take care of your family.
He was using Moneyball stats, too, to fight them.
Yeah.
And so they said they'd take care of his family.
Yeah. Then his family said, no, I don't want you to do this. And then he said, well, you know, Brad Pitt says, well, if I don't do this, then we're pretty much on the plane back to, get eaten by a bunch of zombies.
So there's values there. So Brad Pitt wanted to stay with his family, perhaps, but a higher value of making sure that he can contribute in a way that they'll be safe long term.
Well, just think about our armed forces. Isn't that kind of, you know, what happens if
well, that possibly, but we don't know, because there's other agendas there. Sometimes it's about oil. Sometimes it's about preventing other countries from getting oil. Sometimes it's about building nations. So these are all criteria, and picking the wrong one sometimes backfires, like the Iraq deal. Look how that turned out, and with human treasure, you know, life and money and those type of things. So you know, again, you have to look at the filter, the criteria, the portal one looks for to make these decisions.
So here's a question for you. A soldier, if he goes to war and he dies in action. Is that soldier's family? Does the government really take care of them after that? I'm not talking about society, but does the government really do a lot for that family after the fact?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not even sure the answer. Eric, do you have any idea if the government takes care of fallen soldiers?
Well, I mean, the families of dead soldiers get some kind of payout, and then they have veterans hospitals that take care of dead soldiers. And
okay.
I don't think they do enough. To be honest.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I think. I mean, how do you put a price tag, right? And what you can contribute to a family if your son or daughter, dies.
They should all get millions of dollars when they get out of the service.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Almost like teachers also should get paid more.
Right.
And yeah, right? Does that make sense?
And right. Movie stars make all this money, and really, what are they doing for the world?
Yeah. I agree. Where it's, there's some professions that are so important, short, mid, and long term, but they're not well compensated or not even well respected. And that bothers me. Teachers are one profession that I really think should be recognized in terms of compensation.
Teachers and armed forces.
Yeah, I would agree totally. I mean, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah. And, there are a lot of themes in this movie, but there are even more in the book. They want to make a sequel. It might make enough money. I mean, I don't know. They reshot the entire ending. Basically, the last third of the movie was completely changed. This was originally going to come out, I think, a couple of years ago, and then it was going to come out last winter, around Christmas time. And so then they pushed it back to now because they had to do a bunch of reshoots. I kind of like the end, the last third. So maybe they should have reshot the entire movie. But a lot of fans of the book are saying that, the end isn't really the book at all, that it should have, stayed on track to where it was going. But obviously Paramount wants to make sequels and certain things they can't do if certain things happen.
Right, absolutely. And thus far at the box office, we'll ask Dave first what he thinks. Monsters University or World War Z, which one made more money last night, Friday night, at the box office?
Yeah, they both came out. I'm going to say... Well, I would hope Monsters University would because of the kids and the higher values, but I'm afraid World War Z did because of probably Brad Pitt and the war violent stuff.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
I know the answer, but World War Z. It's a weird way you put it because nothing's wrong with those types of movies. But
yeah.
I would think World War Z came out on top, but I think that today and tomorrow, Monsters University is going to top
it. And which one?
One of them made $31 million, the other $25 million. The winner, Monsters University.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that because it's higher level values, and
it's a thumbs
good.
Up versus thumbs down.
Yeah, that's not why it's cool that it's up, but it sounds like it's a better movie.
And our special guest here, straight from he's got a supporting role in World War Z.
His name is
Subway Sam.
Oh, he's a man of very few words, but he does say some stuff.
Yeah, I won't let him count the whole to 12. But basically,
he's
from the movie.
Fantastic.
And so basically the idea here is that if he gets to 12,
12 trains in the station.
If you get bit by a zombie or if you get some zombie blood in your mouth and you can count to 12, then you are not going to turn into a zombie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what's the criteria there? Why would you some and some not? Immune system?
Well, possibly. I don't want to spoil anything for
the movie. It's in the movie.
But basically, this is a toy from the movie, the Paramount Pictures. I want to thank them very much for sending over Subway Sam
so
that we could feature him here on Breakthrough Entertainment. And they also...
He has a nice turkey sandwich there, too. Wow.
Yeah, he also...
action.
They sent over a zombie survival kit.
Is there a head in there? It's the size of a head.
There's a lot
head.
In here. There's some glow sticks. There is a hammock, I don't know why you'd need that to survive a zombie attack.
At the beach?
And
a shotgun.
That wasn't in here, unfortunately. No. But there's some hand warmer. There's a sleeping bag. There's a headlamp.
What's the hand warmer for?
Zombies hate warm hands.
Yes,
they
do.
Oh, I thought it was for some late night action.
I hate cold hands.
Oh, okay.
All the ladies out there, just so you know.
I'm very warm blooded. No, really. I feel Okay.
Yeah, you're hairy. So yeah.
I want to thank Paramount Pictures for sending over, even though I didn't like the film and I'm giving it a thumbs down. But as we saw, Jeff, our caller, and I'm sure a lot of other people
someone's
out
at
there,
the door. It's Paramount. Oh, they want their stuff back.
Yeah.
No, they've sent Jason Voorhees to take us out.
I do feel a little bit bad about this, but, you know, he is cute, Subway Sam, and I believe that you can buy him as well. UPC.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Had a toy store near.
Adorable. Subway Sam.
Yeah, Subway Sam, and then that survival kit, one. I'm sure isn't for sale.
Oh,
but,
it looks cool.
But
though.
There's, you know, now I'm prepared.
No,
you know,
absolutely.
The you only thing that's not in here is Brad Pitt.
What would you? How about Angelina Jolie?
She's in there. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Can we share?
She's
the
pretty flexible.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'd rather have some Aniston.
So what would you do if you met a zombie, Joseph?
I would probably
run.
I would count to 12. No.
You wouldn't run?
I would.
Are they fast?
You know,
do they run fast?
They are very fast in this movie. In World War Z, they are fast. And as
zombies,
Jeff said,
I picture slow motion.
Right.
I'm going to get you.
But that's
you
not very
but these
much
are upgraded.
Fun,
no. These are steroid zombies.
And, oh,
and
they have batteries included?
These swarm as well. And they can, you know, like Jeff said,
there is a
wall. And they can basically climb each other like ants do, or cockroaches, or, you know, bugs. And
Do they ever date each other?
Well, they climb each other.
Well,
so
in Warm Bodies, that was a great zombie movie, Warm Bodies.
I miss that, and I heard it was good.
I think it's coming out on DVD.
I think it already is, actually.
What do vegetarian zombies eat?
Yeah. Oh, that's
I don't
a
know.
Good
what
question.
Is it?
Grains.
Oh.
Oh, that was good.
That was bad.
No, I liked it.
Submit that one to Ellen DeGeneres, Eric.
Oh, that is very good.
Why is she looking for joke writers?
That is.
She has Bad Joke Tuesday.
She does?
Bad
Joke
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're all great like that.
So thumbs down when you're saying World War Z's. But still, with our discussion, maybe people will want to see it. Because like the caller, Jeff from Phoenix, he liked it. So other people will like it. I mean, it seems to be making some money. And
absolutely. So we had one thumbs down today. We had two thumbs up. You can watch Jodi Arias tonight on the Lifetime channel, Dirty Little Secret. And then also I would highly suggest going and seeing Monsters University in theaters.
Yes, and that's going to be exciting. And wow, we're at the end of the show, but stay tuned from 12 to 1. Real Hockey Talk, brought to you by Breakthrough Sports. Sebastian Noren in studio. And at 12:15, we'll have Craig Morgan, FoxSportsArizona.com, calling in, talking Coyotes and Stanley Cup. We'll be right back.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.